We are almost done with this beautiful text, Hymn to Sri Dakshinamurti, which is an understanding of the highest truth that everything in this world is nothing but an expression of that one divinity. You can call him Allah, Father in Heaven, Brahman, Consciousness, Krishna, Shiva. But everything is a manifestation of that one reality. And so far in the first 7 verses, Shankaracharya talks about the highest, most evolved individual, the realized soul or the evolved individual who sees the one consciousness throughout. And he says to that wise person, who is the guru and who is the Lord himself, is my prostration. And what are the hallmarks of this wise person, as we have studied in the first 7 verses? He sees the oneness everywhere, not only everywhere in the world, but he sees himself as an expression of that divinity. And he is never lost from that divinity. And he sees that it was that same consciousness that was there as a child, as a young person, as a youth, as an old person. And also in waking dream and deep sleep, it is that one consciousness. It is that same light of consciousness that comes out through my eyes and I can see the and hear and smell, taste and touch the world. And that is his constant experience, his or her constant, not only in meditation, but throughout the day as this person is interacting with others. He sees the divinity in all. Yes, there are differences. You know, there is male and female, young and old. There are good and bad people. But that is all an expression of their vasanas, of their tendencies. But in reality, they are all that one. And the substratum of everything is that. So far he has talked about the wise person in the 7 verses. Now, how about the rest of us, the ignorant fools? And you and I still do not have that experience of that. And are we also that an expression of that divinity? You know, not the saint, not Jesus or Buddha or Shankaracharya, but you and me. Are we also that divinity? Are we also that consciousness? Is really our substratum or basis the same? Am I the same as Jesus or as Buddha? And if I am, what is the similarity? And if I am not, what is the difference? What separates me from the saint or from the realized master? And why do we act ignorantly? Why don't I have that highest experience? If everything is God, then why don't I see him? Why don't I experience him in my heart? Why do I feel myself to be limited, to be ignorant, to be suffering, and going through joys and sorrows? Why does that happen? So he says, because of wrong understanding. And that is, he makes that very clear. In the 8th verse is very familiar because he's talking about us. So that one we will all relate to. The first 7 may have been a little difficult, but this one it will be very easy for us. So in the 8th verse, it's on page 75, those who have it. Vishvam pasyati karya karanataya sa swami sambandhatah shishyacharyataya tathaiva pitru putradyatmana bhedatah swapne jagrati vaya esha purusho maya paribhramitah tasmai shri guru murtaye nama idam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. So he says, this people like us who have not yet realized the truth, and he uses a very interesting word. He calls us Maya Paribhramitaha. Maya means ignorance, means the the ignorance. And he says we are paribhramita. Brahmita means deluded. Paribhramita means totally deluded. So when you use pari, it means completely, 100%, totally. So that is our condition. And why are we that? Why are we so deluded? He says, because Vishwam Pashyati, because we see the world, Vishwam Pashyati, we see the world as what? Karya Karana. Karya Karana means cause and effect. So we see everything as cause and effect. Okay, if there is a table, there must have been some wood. If there is a wood, there must have been a tree. If there is a tree, there must have been a seed. If there is a world, there must have been a creator. So we see the world as creator and created. And then we see as Swaswami. And then Swaswami means me and mine. I and the owner. So I own my car, I own my house. So I have that relationship with objects, my house, my car, my wife, my child, my job, my business. Okay. Swaswami also, there's some people interpret it as boss and, you know, employee. So I and the employee, and then there is my boss or my manager or the owner of the company. So we have that kind of relationship with people. Or either, so the relationship can be with objects or with people. So Sanskrit is a very interesting language depending on the context. The same word can have several meanings. So one has to select, if you pick up a dictionary, and the one Sanskrit word, if you look at it, will have a paragraph, majority of the words, and they have 20 or 30 meanings, and you're like, which one is correct? They're all correct, depends on the context, and that's why Sanskrit has to be learned from a teacher, cannot be learned just from a dictionary or from a textbook, because it's not that easy. It's a very sweet language. Then it says, Shishya Acharya, and then we say, okay, teacher and student. So I have relationship with people. He is my teacher, I am the student, he is my guru, I am his disciple. Then he says, other relationship people have is father and son, Pitra Putra. So I am the father of my child, I am the son of my father. Atmana Bhedatah, and all these distinctions we find in this world, owner and objects, boss and employee, father and son, teacher and student, cause and effect. But he says, one who sees only this in the world is a paribhramita. He is totally deluded. Not only he is deluded awake, but even in his sleep. Svapne jagrati vaya esha purusha. So this purusha, this individual, is deluded in his sleep and when he is awake. So when I am seeing foolish things in the waking state, obviously I will dream the state, same thing. My dreams are only an expression of what I have seen. Some people say, I want to realize God in my dream. In my dream, God should appear. In your dream, the only thing that will appear is what you have seen. And it is generally a jumble. You know, people try to make a lot of meanings of dreams. But in my opinion, dream is just the mind picking different thoughts from one year ago, 5 years ago, last week, today, yesterday, and picks up all those thoughts and then jumbles them up and creates a beautiful story which appears real. But when you wake up, then you realize, oh my God, this dream was so foolish. It didn't make any sense. It was not logical. And so a person who is deluded in his waking state will also be deluded in the dream. But he says, even then, he says, to that deluded individual also I prostrate. The Shankaracharya, that is his humility, he says, even that deluded individual is the Lord himself. And so I prostrate to everybody. Why? Because everything, everybody is my beautiful Lord, the Lord that I see in the temple or the church, the Lord that is there in the sun and the moon and the stars is also there in every individual, every plant. There was a famous saint called Tulsidasji, and he had written Ramayana, the story of Ram, which is a story of when Lord incarnated upon the earth. We say he came as Ram and then he came as Krishna and of course as Jesus and Buddha and all those, Guru Nanak and all those great saints. But it is said that Ram's story was written by this Tulsidas, who was himself a great saint. And he said, Ram Siya mein sab jag jani. He says, Ram and Sita, they were married. Ram was married to a lady called Sita. And he says, every man I see as Ram and every woman I see as Sita. And that's why Karun Pranam Jori Chukpani. That's why every man and woman I bow down and I touch their feet, because my Lord is there in everybody. So that's also Shankaracharya says, that even in that deluded individual, that one Lord is there. And that is the one of the messages that we have to take from this, that nothing in this world is useless. Nothing in this world is a waste. Whatever has been created by him is beautiful, is wonderful. And one has to see his divine hand in all activities, whatever is happening. You know, everything is there. And the good and bad is because of our own negative vasanas, our own negative tendencies. But the world that he created was beautiful, was perfect. So let us talk about the word Purusha. Purusha means the individual. Purusha also means the consciousness. Now, each of one of us is perfect and we are divine and we are one with that infinite consciousness. Everything is that one consciousness. Then why do I feel myself limited? You know, I feel that I am this limited individual in this limited body who has limited abilities and limited knowledge. And confining myself to this body is as foolish as saying that space is confined in these four walls. You know, that space is only in these four walls. You know, no, space can never be confined. Space is in the four walls and outside the four walls, everywhere. Space is there everywhere, but appears to be conditioned by these four walls. But interestingly, these four walls, even though they are holding the space, they are in space. The four walls of this building are in that immense space that extends for billions and trillions of miles, and, you know, beyond all the planets and the stars and everything. So just as the space cannot be conditioned by the four walls, but we say that, right, we say this is a room space, and then there is a part space, and then there is a building space. So similarly, when you break the part, the part space becomes one with the room space. When you break the room, the walls of the building, then the walls, the space becomes one with that cosmic space. So similarly, at this moment, I think myself to be conditioned by the walls of this body. But we don't have to break the walls. You don't have to give up the body. Yes, when you give up the body, then, you know, your mind will become one with the total mind and your intellect will become one with the total intellect. But while living in this body, you can realize that you are not conditioned. You are not this body. You are that infinite consciousness who at this moment appears to be conditioned by this body, just as this the total space appears to be conditioned by these walls or by a part. And so then the body is not me, but a body is an instrument, is a vehicle, is a house I am living in. Just as I am living in Bakersfield and then I get transferred to LA. So I just leave my house and I say, okay, I'm going to LA. I sell the house or rent it or give it back to the landlord or whatever. So similarly, this body is a house I am occupying. And while I am here, I take care of the house. I keep it well furnished and well fed and keep my body clothed and food. But then when it is time to drop this body, I do not have any fear. I do not have any sorrow, because it is just a change. It is just like shifting from here to Los Angeles. And so when a person realizes or experiences this, then he or she becomes fearless. Then even death has no fear for that person. Because a change it's just a matter of change. And then either if it is time for me, I will take another body. If not, for a realized soul, there is no new body to take because he or she has become one. So that understanding, when it comes, then it makes a person fearless, makes a person not give too much importance to the body and the body's welfare. Yeah, I have to take care of the body just as I have to take care of the house, but I am not the body, just as I don't say I am the house. You know, if I'm living in the house in northeast or southwest, I don't say I am the house, and if I have to give up the house, I don't start crying. So that understanding. So that's why he says such a individual then does not take life very seriously, does not give too much importance to what the majority of us give importance. You know, we give so much importance to possessions. That's why he says, me and mine. And I'm so tied up, you know, with what I own and what I possess. And if something happens to my car, or something happens to my job, or something happens to my house, or something happens to the stock market, oh, I get so depressed, and people commit suicide and they shoot themselves or take pills. Why? Because they have so much identification with their objects. And identifying with the objects, that is only purpose of life, then such a person is constantly working, acquiring, wanting, collecting. And even on the spiritual path, these people do not give up this attachment to me and mine. And instead of saying my house, then they say it is my ashram or my church. You know, I am the pastor of this church, or I am the guru of this ashram, and then I have so many devotees, and another guru down the street has more devotees or has a bigger church. Or, you know, why do people go there? And so this I and mine, the possessions, do not end when you change your clothes. If you put on a priest's habit or orange clothes of a monk. But unless you give up this Sir Swami, this me and mine, until then your journey is still incomplete. You're just giving up one set of possessions. Okay, you left your family and your wife and your children or your parents, and you became a monk or a priest, and that is good. But until your mental attitude towards the world changes, that this world is not my main purpose, it's not the most important thing. The most important thing in life is to know who I am, to realize the truth, to become one with that infinite reality. This reminds me of a very, very beautiful story. There was this Buddhist, a young renunciate who decided to join a monastery and became a Buddhist monk. And so he went to the head monk there and said, "I would like to join your order." He said, he looked at him, talked to him. He said, "Okay, you're most welcome to join." But he said, "This is one of the most strict monasteries, Buddhist." He said, "What do you mean strict? What do you have to do?" He says, "We don't speak a word. Nobody talks. Only person who talks is me, because I have to instruct you. And so from time to time, I may give some instructions and some, you know, discourses or short talks, not much. But you just have to stay silent, study, and contemplate. Contemplate upon what you have learned from the scriptures, what you have learned from me. And even I am going to be talking minimal, you know, maybe a few words here and there, just pointers. And you have to study and you have to understand the truth." So he says, "I cannot talk at all." He says, "No, only time you're allowed to talk is once in 5 years. And that also you're only allowed to say two words. So you can talk once in 5 years and only say two words." He said, "Okay, all right." He was quite determined. So he sat down, and 5 years he remained silent. And after 5 years, you know, he was waiting for the time. 5 years is completed. So he goes to the head of the monastery and says, "Bed hard. Bed hard. My bed is hard. Bed hard." So those are the only two words. "My bed is too hard. You know, bed hard." So, okay. 5 years goes by. Monk, the teacher doesn't say anything. After 5 years, he comes back. He says, "Food cold." So that's all he says. Again, he can't say anything more, right? Only two words. So another 5 years pass. 15th year, he comes and tells the teacher, "I quit." So teacher says, "I'm not surprised. For the past 15 years, you have done nothing but complain." You have been constantly complaining for past 15 years. So such a person, it doesn't matter. You know, he may be in silence, he may be in meditation, but if in meditation all he's thinking about is the condition of the bed or the condition of the food, or he's happier, then he has not understood the essence of the scriptures. We are not here in this world to worry too much about what kind of bed I have, what kind of food. Yeah, I need to have a decent meal, I need to have a decent home and a decent car, but that's all we constantly complain about. You know, we complain about the weather. Oh, it's so hot. Oh, people are roaming around and, you know, oh, it's horrible. You know, you are living in Bakersfield. It is July or June. It is going to be hot. There is no point of complaining. You know, turn on the air conditioner, and if you can't, just, you know, it's a changing phase. We give so much importance to our body comforts, you know. And that is what we do throughout our life. We complain about, I don't have this, I don't have that, I want to eat this, I want to possess that, I want. So what the teacher is telling us, that life is a changing experience. And see the world as it is. We're not saying that you close your eyes and you say, I'm not going to experience any changes, I'm not going to enjoy anything, I'm just going to give up everything and live in a dark cave. No, we are not saying that. You continue to live in the world and function and do your duties that have been assigned to you. Whatever job you have been assigned, if you have been assigned the job of a daughter, be the best daughter to your parents. Or if you are a mother or a father, be the best parent you can be. As an employee, as an employer, do your duties. That's what he says. We're not saying that you don't do your job, you know, whatever job you have been assigned. But throughout, while doing all these activities, constantly remember that I am a servant of the Lord. Whatever abilities I have been given by him or her, you know, if you worship the Mother Goddess. So everything is an expression of that one divinity. Whatever powers I have, whatever abilities I have, and while doing all my duties and dealing with all the changing circumstances, I never forget the truth that I am that consciousness, and I am on this earth here to experience and enjoy the world, but never forgetting that where I came from, never forgetting my home. Just as a person, when he or she is traveling and sent away on business by his boss, and he's traveling through various countries and selling products and buying, and maybe he gets posted for 3 or 4 years in a foreign country, and he's learning a foreign language and making friends and maybe even getting married in that country to a girl and all. But he always still remembers my home. You know, my home where my parents are, and the little house I grew up in, and the village I grew up in. And always there is a fond desire to return. That's why we find even people here, they say, oh, I'm going back home. Even though they've been living here for 30 or 40 or 50 years. But in their heart, they still feel attachment, some little attachment for that place where I was born and where I was a little child and I used to run around and play with my friends. So while I am functioning in the world, I have to remember my true home, the home where I came from, which is where I have to go back. And I have to constantly remember my divine master, my friend, my father, my mother, the Lord, who has given me everything. And when you work with that kind of an activity, then such a person becomes a humble servant of the Lord. He has no arrogance, no pride, no sense of possession or ownership, because everything I have has been given to me by him. So how can I say I am the owner of this house or this car? Even I am not the owner of this body, because even the body has been given to me as a gift by somebody else. all my mental and intellectual abilities, even they don't belong to me. Even they have been given as a gift. And my job is to use the gift that he has given me to the best of my ability to serve him, in the world. And that's what happens. And that's what we see in the lives of these great saints, where they had no arrogance, no pride. You look at how Jesus moved around in the world. Look at how Buddha conducted himself. Utmost humility, utmost modesty. And that is the hallmark of a saint who has no sense of possession, no sense of ownership, and no sense of ego. Because even the body, mind, and intellect do not belong to me, but belong to him. And that is the essence of this beautiful verse, that everything is him, and do not get too much attached to possessions and things, because everything you have to leave one day. No matter how much a person loves you, you have to leave him or her. No matter how much you love your children, one day they have to go, you know, get married and go away and get a job. So willingly let them go. Does not mean you don't love. See, there is a difference between love and attachment. You love, but when it is time to go, set them free. So that is part of this message of this beautiful verse. We shall continue that next time. We have some time if there's any comments or questions.
I'd like to see how you unravel the mystery, remove the paradox.
First of all, a person never says, "I am God." That is an experience. That is a inner. Any person who goes around and says, "I am God, and you are all my disciples, or my servants, or my assistants," or then that person has not understood Vedanta. In your depth of your understanding, you understand that everything is that one consciousness, and I am not separate. It does not mean that I, Anil, if I say I am that consciousness, it does not mean that I created the tree. I cannot. As an individual, I am limited. And this body, at this moment, I am trapped in the understanding that I am the body, mind, and intellect. When a saint wakes up to that understanding that everything is that one consciousness, but he or she still continues to function in this body. And he or she still has the illnesses of this body and has the sufferings and also gets all the problems of, you know, people rejecting him or crucifying him or hurting him. Like the story of Hanumanji. Hanumanji was a servant of Ram, God, when he was here. It says when Ram appeared on earth, Hanumanji was his servant, was took care of all his needs, because Ram was a king and Hanumanji was an ordinary half monkey, half man. So the Lord Ram asked him one day, "What is my relationship to you?" So Hanuman, the devotee, the disciple, said it very humbly. He says, "At the body level, as long as I think myself to be this body, I am your servant. At the body level, I am your servant. At the mind level, when I think of myself to be this mind, then there is a cosmic mind, the total mind, and I am a part of that. Just like my mind is not separate from your mind or your mind, even though at this moment we think. And we are all not only connected to each other, but we are connected to the plants and to the stars and the moon. Everything is, there is one cosmic mind." So he says, at the body level, I am your servant. At the level of the mind, I am a tiny part of you, just as a tiny ray from the sun. So I am a tiny part of you. At the body level, I am your servant. I am separate from you. As long as I identify myself at this body level, I am separate from you. I am your servant. At the mental level, I am a small part of this infinite mind. But when I think of myself as Om, as this consciousness, then you and I are one. So it depends at what level you are talking. At the body level, I am separate from him. At the mental level, I am a small part. But when I understand in my waking up that I am that consciousness, then all delusion ends. And then there is only oneness. And that's what the saint can see. But it does not mean if the saint sees oneness in all, but if still if he sees a ferocious dog, he's not going to, and, you know, is a Doberman and he's attacking, and, you know, he's going to stay away. He's not going to go and embrace the dog. Oh, this is Brahman. No. Because he knows that this dog will attack me. So he'll avoid it, maybe cross the street or close the door, or, you know. So, but in his mind, he will have no hatred for the dog. So that understanding, so at the, that there is one, he, his consciousness and my consciousness are one. But at this moment, this dog is under the influence of this violent tendencies. And so I have to be watchful. So it depends from what level. But I think what we are, if we, it depends from what level you are looking at. So when I say I am God, it does not mean I am the creator God. What it means is that the substratum is one, the substratum. But the expression, I am so limited, I am, you know, I don't know anything, how much do I know? And I, you know, he is all knowing, he knows everything, he knows all the thoughts of all the people. I don't even know my own thoughts, I don't even know who I am. I have very limited abilities, he has the ability to create the whole world. All I can create is a little confusion, you know? And he, I mean, he's all knowing, he's all, and he's all pervading, he is everywhere. And I'm, you know, here, 5 feet, 6 inches, you know, 140 pounds. So how can I and he be one? At this level, I'm not. But when I say I am that consciousness, means the substratum is one. Just as the waves may be different, there may be ripples and bubbles, and the waves may be different, but they all, the substratum of that is one. So the wave can say, I am a wave, and then it's okay. Then I am the wave, and there are different waves, smaller waves, bigger waves. But when the wave understands I am the ocean, who at this moment is playing the part of a wave, and when the wavedom ends, I'll merge and become the ocean. So that understanding, it does not mean that the wave can say, I created all those waves. No, the wave says, I, as the ocean, created all those waves. As a wave, I did not. See, Brahman's creation is perfect. It is the human that has created all the problems out of ignorance. When he created the Garden of Eden was beautiful, was harmonious. There was birds were chirping, and the plants and the flowers and animals, and it was a beautiful place. And then he made the mistake of creating Adam and Eve, and that's when we started all the problems. And Abel started killing Cain, and all the violence and all the problems. So what he did was he created man in his own image and gave man intelligence. Until the level of the lion or the tiger or the fish, there is no intelligence. They just work according to instinct. But man was given the choice of being good or bad and doing good or bad and being a good person or a bad person. And the scriptures were revealed by him for us to see as a manual, okay, this is what I should do, this is what I should not do. But man, in his arrogance, in his greed, in his selfishness, in his ignorance, decided to, you know, I want more than what I have, and I want this, and I want that, and I want to be powerful, I want to be the king, and I want to take over the next kingdom. So it is man who has created most of these problems in the world of poverty and of war and, you know, all these, you know, most of the problems are man-made. Otherwise, the world was working fine. And so it is just, you know, he has the ability to be many, so he created many. And he created this beautiful experiment called man. And he said, let me see how man functions. And he gave us the freedom. He said, okay, children, go out and do what you want. And he gave us the choice, and we misused the choice. And that's why I think, in my opinion, majority of these problems in this world are man-made. As far as the Brahman is concerned, there is a cycle of birth and death. I'm not saying that the bacteria, and that is a reason to die. Otherwise, man would never die, or plants would never die, or animals would never die. So he created birth, and he also created death. So that is a continuous cycle which has been going on for billions of years. But the problems that you see in modern society are man-made. And because he gave us the freedom, so we misuse the freedom. If somebody, you know, gives you a knife, you can either cut somebody's belly and take out a cancer, or you can cut somebody's belly and kill him. So the choice is yours. And so that is what he gave us, this beautiful equipment called body, mind, and intellect. Instead of saving somebody's life, I'm taking it. So that is the problem. That's my opinion.